First, Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. I want to look at a couple of verses here in light of events of the world. And I usually don't do this, but I just got caught up in what's going on in the church. So God placed this on my heart, 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's familiar because I know we've covered it and we've talked about it and we may have studied it. It should be highlighted in some of your Bibles, but I just want to read a few verses. I'll probably read right down to verse number 6. Number 6 at least. From 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 1 is where I'm going to rest my hat at, but I'm going to read some of it just to get an idea of what Paul was teaching. Paul says, and he says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Precious Lord, we know we're living in perilous times. We know we're living in difficult times, dangerous times, and fierce times. It's not safe even to go to God's house. It's not safe to go to a concert or a walk in a park or sit in a restaurant with your family. Why? Because the Word of God says in the last days, perilous times shall come. One man of God was asked, is it going to get better? No, it's not. It's not going to get better. Father God, we're living in perilous times. But Father God, you have the solution. The answer how to be victorious in perilous times. So we pray that you would just give your message this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I read in the paper just the other day that the president and the president of China said that they have the answer to all the world's problems. I read that on the front page. Y'all know me, and I just spiritualize it. I'm like, you don't have any answers. You won't find them at a summit. You won't find them at a conference. You won't find them at the NATO convention. You're only going to find them in God's Word. But the Scripture says we live in perilous times. Now, I gave you the definition of perilous. The biblical definition of perilous is reducing the strength of the people of God. Let me say that again. Reducing the strength of the people of God. And I go on record to say I believe that God's people's strength has been reduced.
Amen.
Because of difficulties, because of dangerous and furious times, because of what's going on in the world. The people of God just don't seem strong. The people of God don't seem powerful. Don't seem like they're living the victorious life. I'll go on record and say I meet more defeated Christians than I do victorious Christians.
Amen.
And the Word of God says clearly that greater is He that is within us than he that is in the world. Why have our strength been Why has our strength been reduced? How many know that in 2017, with approximately 30, 45 days left out of a 365 day year, there have been 307 mass shootings in the U.S. 307 mass shootings. Now, a mass shooting is defined as four more people either killed or shot, not including the shooter. America's a dangerous place. And some folks would think, well, you know, what's the most dangerous state in to live in? I didn't hear it. Illinois. For mass shootings. Your chance of getting shot per population. I should have put that in there. Alaska. Followed by Montana. Everybody can carry a gun in Alaska. You don't need a concealed carry. Alabama, Missouri, Mississippi, and really Illinois is not even on the list. And New Mexico, Wyoming. That perilous times. Amen. How many read last week that 100 people were charged with drug trafficking in Columbiana? They said there was enough fentanyl and opium to kill everybody in Columbiana County and in 11 surrounding counties. That much. 750 charges. People, we living in last days and difficult days, and we live in a country that is supply and demand. We live in a supply and demand economy, and if there's a demand for anything, there are going to be some suppliers. And if the demand is high enough, the suppliers may come from a small church like this. If the demand is high enough. We live in perilous times. We live in very, very dangerous times. Very unsafe times. It's not even safe to go to Walmart anymore. Most folks are you go to some cities like Detroit and Chicago, and these folks have shut it down at 5 o'clock. Soon as it gets dark, they are under house arrest. Afraid to even come out of their own houses. Because we live in perilous times. What do we need? I like this. What do we need to be victorious in perilous times? Now we want to first establish the fact I want to be victorious. I don't want to be a defeated Christian. I don't want to be a cowardly Christian. I don't want to be a weak Christian. I want to be victorious. I think we want to be the best. We want our children to be the best, and we want to be the best at what we do, whether it's on our job, whether it's I want to be the best father I can be or the best husband I can be. We want to be the best in a lot of things, but do we want to be the best Christian we can be? Do we want to live victoriously? How do we do it? How do we do it in a fallen world? How do we do it when all hell is breaking out in our lives? How do we do it when we're burying loved ones? How do we do it when we're struggling in with our finances and we're struggling with our health and we got all these issues and Pastor, you're saying you want us to be victorious? Word of God said we ought to be victorious. The Word of God said we ought to be victorious. Paul gave a formula. Paul says this in Philippians 4 and 12. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. He said, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. How did Paul do it? If we keep reading Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we're going to be victorious in a fallen world, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God in our heart. We need the Word of God as our biblical instruction. Before leaving earth. Somebody say, that's what it heard. The B-I-B-L-E. Biblical instructions before leaving earth. We need to be fully informed of what the Word of God says.
Amen.
We said it this morning in Sunday school. Folks say, well, I'm still getting revelations. Well, you better be getting up on the Word of God.
Amen.
Because that's where they're at. And Paul says, all Scripture. Okay? All Scripture. Given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Word of God is designed to equip us, to empower us, to encourage us, to make us victorious, even in the most difficult times.
Amen.
And folks, listen. Difficult times is coming.
Amen.
They're coming.
Uh-huh.
It's not no if, and, or but, maybe. No, they're coming.
Amen.
Okay? Now, here, right here, absolutely. Now, we win a week. We went a week at the church. We haven't had a funeral. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Had a kid come to my office, bring him to my office. Almost turning me into the Grim Reaper. They bring him to my office. He has a 1-year-old son. He had never even seen him because he got locked up when the boy was being born. Never even seen the boy. 1 year old, he's going to get a heart procedure and he dies. They bring him to my office. And the chaplain, you got to talk to him. You got to share with him. What do you say? What do you say to that lady who lost 8 family members for murder? What do you say? There's nothing to say. There's nothing to say. You open up the scripture and you try to comfort her with scripture.
Amen.
Paul, writing to the believers in Corinth. We're studying the book of Corinth, the book of Corinthians, on Wednesday night. But this is the 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says that the believer has received special favors and gifts and powers and abilities from the Lord.
Uh-huh.
What I get anymore is Christians that don't have nothing to bring to the table.
Uh-huh.
Nothing. That's not biblical. That's not. I don't have word for it. You tell me you saved and don't have nothing. Paul says this. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, 2 Corinthians 4:1, this ministry, this Word of God, this gospel, this Bible, and all the truth that's in the Bible. He said, we have received mercy. If you think you haven't received anything from God, one thing for certain, you saved. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you've been born again, and you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you have received mercy. What is mercy? Somebody said, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And what do we deserve? Hell. Hell, damnation. And God has not given us that. He has given us mercy. That mercy, in this word, that mercy involves power. There's power that comes with mercy. If you know you've been sentenced to die, and somebody says, listen, Barabbas, and all of us are Barabbas. You come down, somebody going to take your place. You're going to remember that person that took your place. Now, I'm not sitting here saying Barabbas is saved. I don't know. But I know one thing for certain. He never forgot Jesus. And if you're saved in here, you receive mercy. God took your place on Calvary. You receive power. Power to do what? I like this verse. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Too many faint Christians. Church is full of faint Christians. Just faint over the littlest thing. Little trouble come in the church and folks just faint. Little trouble come in your life, folks just faint. Just get dizzy. Discombobulated. Don't know how to deal with it. Paul said, you can do it anything you want to do. You got all power when you come to the Lord. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we get fluttered. We get upset. You know what I think happens? In the army back in that day, when they would lock arms, they would have these shields, and they would connect, and they would march forth as one. And Satan would fire, or the enemy would fire fiery darts at those shields. But those shields were made of some kind of wood or some kind of material that would set on fire. And they would march, and they would march, and that shield would set on fire. Well, if your shield set on fire, that means it got so hot you had to drop it. And then when you drop your shield, you become what? A target. You become defenseless. And what I believe has happened is a lot of Christians Satan has hit our shields with so many fire darts that the shield has set on fire, and now we're walking around defenseless. And then we don't know how to handle anything, and we're scared to death because of the fiery darts of the Lord. What do we need to do? We need God's Word. God's Word will give us a new shield. Okay? Paul writing in Ephesians says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You know what the fiery darts he used? You know, some of y'all got darts in you now. Some of you get walking around with darts in you. Smoldering, someone says. Smoldering. Listen, folks. Pull them things out. Use God's Word. Pull them things out. Oh, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy being saved. I don't want nobody to think it is. I don't think nobody in here think it's easy to be saved. It's difficult to be saved. Think about how many people in the last year you told personally that you're a child of God. And why haven't you? Because you don't want it. You don't want the feedback. Okay? You don't want it. How many people have you witnessed to? God gave us a great platform last week. How many of you talked about the church in Texas with other folks that probably didn't know the Lord? Talked about it. Use that as a way of ministering, of testifying of the goodness of God. Or even saying to someone, you know what? That's really what the church has promised. And we don't like to talk like that, but really, you know, the church ain't supposed to be a cozy place. And truth be told, Satan ought to be burning down more of them. But because they're so weak and feeble and non-threatening, Satan don't bother the church. don't represent anything. And Satan ain't even mad at most of them. Somebody called them just sanctified nightclubs. Listen.
Keep going. Why we need the Word of God. Why we need the Word of God.
Okay. Think about it. Life is hitting us. Life is dealing with us. I look around here. I see it. I see Shirley. I see Teddy. I see Claire. I see the absence of people. Something go a little wrong. Something touch them that they don't like, and they tuck their tail. Listen, folks. We're in a war. In any war, there are going to be casualties. In any war, there are going to be casualties. Folks going to lose. Folks going to leave. Folks going to quit. Folks going to die. Stuff's going to happen in our lives. What God requires us to do? To stand. To wait. And we get that word mixed up, to wait. There's a right way to wait. Okay? The word don't mean just sit there idly. It doesn't mean inactivity. Okay? The word wait really means wait by using prayer and Bible studies and communion and fellowship. That's what the word wait means. So when you sit there and take that word wait, and you're going through. And the word of God said, wait. Isaiah talks about it. That people was going through. And he says in Isaiah 40 and 20, he says, Has thou not known? Has thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. That's what we get in mercy. When we start talking about God, what is God's mercy? He gives us the ability not to faint. He gives us the ability not to be weary. He said there is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint. You feel like you're going to faint? You feel like life is just wearing you out? And you feel like you're on your last strength? The Bible says he gives power to faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. How? Through prayer, through Bible study, through communion, through fellowship. Yeah, you're not going to get no strength. Watching Empire. You're not going to get no strength watching Family Feud and watching all these shows. You going through and you watching stuff that's teaching you to hate. You going through and you watching TV shows that glorify homosexuality and adultery and fornication. And you're going through. And you wonder why you can't get delivered. And you can't get the strength up. Because you turn into Satan. And Satan's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wanna hit you with the knockout punch. But Jesus said in his word, he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. Those that are watching all that crazy stuff. But he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If you wait right. Amen. If you wait in right. A lot of us ain't waiting right. We waiting wrong. So many fainting Christians, so weak, so cowardly. And God said, we got to wait. You need some spiritual power. Oh, God. Listen. Paul. I can talk about Paul. Paul. Jesus says this. Matthew 24:13, it says this is, a lot of folks take it the wrong way. But he says, but he that endured unto the end, the same shall be saved. Why would Jesus say that? He said, you're in a battle. You're going to be tossed and turned. You're going to be pushed around. But you got to endure. And the power to endure comes. And it don't come from, you. It comes from your relationship with the Savior. You're going to go through. I think about this. I hear this song a lot. Especially at funerals, I hear this song. Some of you know it. It says, my soul has been anchored. Okay? See, we need the Word of God, but we need God as our anchor. Okay? Let me just read some of this. And y'all know I'll be studying and then something will come up in the text and I'll relate it to a song. And it says this, and I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to read it. Y'all heard me do this before. It says, though the storms keep on raging in my life. Yeah, we can relate to that. And sometimes it's hard to tell my night from day. Still, that hope that lies within me is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. Now watch this now. And I'm skipping the chorus. No, I'm not. But if the storm don't cease, and if the wind keeps blowing, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Now this is the part. This is the part you got to pay attention to because you might miss it. Because I never really heard it. I heard this song a lot. He said, I realize in this life, you're going to be tossed by the wave and the currents that seem so fierce. Okay? Watch this now. But in the Word of God, I got an anchor, and it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. I like that. I like that. Now I hear him singing, but sometimes you get caught up and not hear the words. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor. God is our Word. God is our anchor. God's Word is our anchor. And Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip away. The Word of God ain't moving. The Word of God is anchored. It's not moving. It's saying yesterday, today, forevermore. Who moves? We move. Why do we move? Because we're not anchored. Okay? We're not anchored. We're not anchored. You know, Christians, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They move from week to week. From week to week. Somebody, John the Baptist was in the wilderness. He was preaching. And he was rock solid. Didn't matter who came. He going to preach the text. Okay? And Jesus said unto the Pharisees, what did you expect to see when you went into the wilderness? A reed shaken by the wind, tossed and blown by the wind. And a whole lot of folks says, wherever it go. Wherever it go. I was listening and reading. I'm not for Youngstown and I was following a campaign, Tito Brown won, and they said he didn't win really none of the West Side votes because those were all McNally's votes. And the reason he didn't get those votes because he stepped up and said the man was wrong and nobody indicted him to hold public office.
Amen.
The other two didn't say that. Oh, come on, man.
Amen.
Come on, man. Little, you know, I'm not equating him with John the Baptist, but, you know, some things you just can't move on.
Amen.
Some things you can't move on. Here's a good verse. When folks get in trouble, you can always tell where folks at when they get in trouble. Okay? You can always tell where they run to when they get in trouble. Some folks run back to drinking. Some folks will run back to doing some of this other stuff that they did prior to the situation. But the saint of God, okay? The saint of God knows this. And the saint of God, say like the psalmist, he said this. He said, God, Psalms 41:1, God is our refuge and strength. Come on now. my anchor. David said, God is my anchor. God is my refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. David said, God is my refuge. A refuge was a designated city where if you accidentally kill somebody, you can run to the city of refuge, and the moment you step in that city, you were safe. Now, if they got you on the way, then you was... But you had to make it to the city of refuge. Some of us need to put on our running shoes. Some of us need to put on our running shoes, and we need to get back to the right, in our right place with God. Absolutely. Amen. Paul. Solomon, this wonderful king, he said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. How about that? A strong tower. The righteous, those right with God, those in a right relationship, runneth into it and is safe. Let me read that again. Proverbs 18:10. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, is an anchor, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe. Why are they safe? Because in that tower is faithfulness, power, mercy, grace, wisdom, knowledge of the things of God, and is safe because it's set on high, beyond His enemies reach. Some of us so low, the enemies can get it to us easy. See, we're not high enough. We're not high enough. We're not in our proper place. And we wonder why the enemy just wear us out. Because we are in his way. We in his way. In the prison where I used to work at, you put your arm out, nobody can get that close to you. See, some folk right up on us. Sin right upon us. Sin right upon us. Listen, the righteous by faith and prayer are locked in anchor to the Lord. How's your prayer life? Yeah. Well, that's a touchy subject, ain't it? How's your prayer life? Pretty good, but ain't nothing going on bad. Gets better when something's happening. You send out the text, get on Facebook and Messenger and tell, pray for me. Okay? Like God is some kind of band-aid. A temporary fix. God's not a temporary fix. See, we think God is a temporary fix. You know, we just go, oh, I go to God when I need him. So I sort of like in my back pocket. You know, my brother used to always tell me, you know, he'd say, keep a $50 bill in your wallet somewhere where your wife can't find it just in case you need a hotel. She put you out or something. See, that's worldly advice. It makes sense, but it's not a band-aid. Okay? See, God is more than a temporary fix. Let me give you three great ones in the Bible. Three great ones. So we need God when we have a surgery. Oh man. We get in a car accident. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In type of misfortune, we went, oh, pray for me. I got an interview. Pray for me. I hear all this kind of crazy stuff. What about every day? Moses said this in Psalms 90. He says, the Lord has been our dwelling place in all generations. He said, before the mountains were brought forth, even thou hast formed the earth and the world. Even from what? Everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Then you wonder why God used Moses so mightily. Moses had the right idea. See, sometimes God can't use us because we're not usable. We don't have nothing to offer. We don't have nothing to offer. We don't have no relationship with him. Or anything. So like when you back in the day, you picking your team. You gonna pick somebody and you don't even know. God wants to use us. But he wants us to know that he is an everyday God.
Amen.
He needs to be in our life every day. Not just the weekends. Not just Sundays. Okay? Paul writing the same thing in Romans 1 and 17. Paul writes this and he's talking about his relationship with the Lord. He's talking about it's a daily relationship. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Let me say that again. The just shall live by faith. What's that mean? Every single day, you depend on God. You count on God to be with you in all things. Why? The just shall live by faith. Faith means the just shall trust God in all things. Amen. Amen. Listen. The babies are busy today. Listen, here's Jesus in Luke 9:23. Talking about an everyday relationship. An everyday relationship. Ask yourself, do you have an everyday relationship? Think about it. Every day. Do you thank God for something? Every day do you cry out to the Lord? Every day are you ready? Are you ready to pray? Ready to study, ready to give a word, ready to say something to someone, exhort them every day. Jesus said this, and he said unto them, if any man will come after me, any man or woman, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily. I have to give you this one. It's hard for me to leave when I'm talking about people who counted on Jesus, who lived with Jesus. It's hard for me to leave David out. David, and I'm going here because I don't want to mess it up. David said this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now the sheep count on the shepherd every day. Okay? That sheep don't hear that shepherd voice, sheep stew. Okay? He's going to have a bad day. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restored my soul. You know how often your soul will be restored? Every day. Every day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long?
Forever.
Forever. Forever. How long are we going to dwell down here? Oh, 3 score and 10, and if God be with us, a little longer, but a lot more trouble. Listen, folks, we need to count on the Lord daily. We need to be in God's presence daily. Just like Moses, Paul, and Jesus when he walked this earth, and of course, David. We need the Lord as our Savior. We need the Lord as our Savior. Okay? I can give you the one we're familiar with. I want to give you some different ones. Okay? I can give you the fact that we need a Savior. You know, and you talk to your loved ones. And you need to talk to them about the fact that they need a Savior. They didn't just come visit you. You just didn't run into somebody at the mall. Girl, I just have to see you. Just getting ready to run into holiday times. These are getting ready to see people you haven't seen in years. talked to in weeks and months. You may have, this may be the last time you have to talk to him.
We take life folks for granted.
Imagine them folks going to church last week and you know, hearing all that going on. Crazy. What did Jesus come to do? He came to be our Savior. The fact that you're here, the fact that you're here and a member of this church, say one thing. He's your Savior.
Amen.
And that has to be. What do you mean, Pastor? Because the church is for saved folks.
Amen.
And if you're not saved, honestly, if you're not saved, and
come on.
The church is for saved folks. Okay? The church is for folks who have been born again. Folks who have, should be gracious and grateful and thankful. Lord, thank you for saving me. I was on my way to a burning hell. You called me out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I just want to thank you. How can I thank you? What can I do for you?
Amen.
That should be the cry of the saint, of the church folk. Because church is ecclesia. It's a place where saved folks come together and fellowship and hear the word of God, sang and prayed and preached. And we all should be able to say this. There are no other place I'd rather be on Sunday morning than in God's house among the saints. But Paul says this in Acts 4 and 12. Y'all know the verse. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you can talk to your loved one and say, you know, honey, listen, you must be saved. Grandpa, you must be saved. You know, modern research say more people come to the Lord by hearing their grandchildren talking to them about the things of God than they do about older people talking to them. What I'm almost saying is, Jill, you may have more power than anybody here to get somebody, to lead somebody to Christ, lead a cousin, an uncle, or someone. But you know, some of our young people are so scared. And they're so scared to talk about Jesus. I make the kids. I make them. I turn them down. I tell them, go back. You can't even come to church service at where I'm at without a Bible. Because they don't even want to walk down the hallway. I don't want nobody to see me with this Bible. Be so cowardly. Listen. I read the newspaper just a little bit. Plane crash. Hall of Fame baseball pitcher died in a plane crash. Murders all over the place. Kid just riding his motorcycle warm. Right in front of the school bus. Shot him up. Okay? Brain and concussions, all that. Cancer, drugs, alcohol. You know, a forklift driver got killed. He's in the bay, forklift driver. Getting married next week. Was getting married. Anybody talk to them? Anybody talk to them? Do you know how hard it is to get saved? When you get shot off a motorcycle? If you're not saved? If you get your head cut off on a forklift truck? You know how hard it is to get saved? Catholic Church case in the prison last week, and it was All Souls Day. They were praying for all the souls and what's going on. Let me tell y'all something, folks. Let me tell you something. Okay? Y'all gotta talk to y'all loved ones. And I know y'all been hearing me say this a couple weeks now, and I might do it for another month. I might just stay on it for another month. Talk to your loved ones. And I know our children are disobedient. That's one of the ones that came up. Disobedient parents. We got a generation of disobedient children. Can't talk to them about nothing. You know, if my father would have been a Christian, I might have been the next Billy Graham. Seriously. If my father would have been saved, as much as I love him and respect him and did anything to please him, if it made my father happy, I was going to do it. Raking leaves, shoveling snow, cutting grass out. I mean, it was You know, I was a landscaper at 12, 13 years old. Because I know he liked that. And if he'd have been involved in the church, if he'd have been a man of God, there would have been nothing. He'd have said, listen, I need you to sing. I'd have sang, play that piano. I'd have learned how to play it. That's how it was. That's how it was. Now you can't even get your kids to barely come to church.
Amen.
They can't wait till they're 18 years old. Get a job. Yeah. Get a job. Hey, you know what? You got to work Sunday. You think a child would say, well, you know, I go to church on Sunday. Is it okay if I come in maybe at 2 o'clock instead of 12? What boss would say no? But what child would even ask? What child would even ask? Well, you know, I got to start at 12. Well, you know, I go to church on Sunday. You think I could come in at 1:30? You think the boss would say, I don't want no Christians working for me. I want some of them heathen folks that are shot up and steal everything. All right, I'm almost done. Somebody say you should be done. Let me get you a verse. Because we need the Lord as our Savior.
Amen.
We need the Lord as our Savior. Here's 1 John 5:11. I just like to just read scriptures and let the Lord speak through. Look at 1 John 5. You don't have to look here. I'm going to read it. He said, for this is the record. This is the record. That God had given to us eternal life. Okay? And this life is in His Son. The only place it can be found. You will not find eternal life anywhere else but in His Son. So what that means? It behooves you. It behooves you to get in a right relationship with Jesus Christ the Lord. Because eternal life is found nowhere else. And you say, well, Grandma, well, Grandpa, well, what's going to happen when you die? And most folks, 80, 90, 100 years old, don't even want to talk about dying. Like, I don't know, like, the one preacher, I'm going to live till I'm 165. Okay. All right. I hope I'm around to see it. But think about it. You're around your loved ones. What's going to happen when you die? You know, they don't even have a clue. Well, I'm going to heaven. How are you going to get there? The only way you can get to heaven is through the Son.
Amen.
Now, seriously, you know, I talk to Muslims all the time. I talk to them, well, how you going to get to heaven? They don't have a clue. Most Muslims don't have a clue, the ones I talk to. They just don't eat pork. Not eating pork not going to get you to heaven. Because you shouldn't eat lobster neither. Uh-huh. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. That's emphatic. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. What? He that hath the Son hath life. He that trusts in the Son. Who that had believed in the Son? Who that has given his life to the Son? That's the only way to heaven.
Amen.
These things I have written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It just keeps going and going and going. The Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of God. Nobody want to preach that. That's offensive. That's offensive. Well, I'm going to offend you to heaven. That's fine. And maybe by you getting to heaven, you'll take the people along with you. And that's fine too. But we need the Son. You know what else? The last thing we need. We need the Holy Spirit. Oh, somebody ready to hop up and say, oh, they get ready to run around up in here. No. That's not the Holy Spirit's job, is to get you running, okay? The Holy Spirit's job is to empower you to do all things that Christ will call you to do. The Holy Spirit's job is to empower you while you over here on this side. Because it's going to get rough. It's going to get perilous. It's going to get difficult. It's going to get difficult. You need the Spirit of God working in your life. Okay? You need the Spirit of God. Listen. Let me turn to Matthew 28 real quick and I'm going to be done. I only said that twice. Matthew 28.
You see the Trinity flowing all through here.
Oh, I believe the Trinity. Well, let me tell you something. This is where you'll find it here. He says to them, because every Christian is a missionary. I know the last you talk about, we have missionary day. Well, every day is missionary day. Okay? All of us are missionaries. Our job is to go out and tell people about Jesus. Okay? He says, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Not I will be. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Even to the time when nobody else gets saved. All the saving is done. All the preaching is done. All the evangelizing is done. All the baptizing is done. To the end of the world. And let me tell you something, folks. The end of the world will be the day when you breathe your last breath. Okay? The day you breathe your last breath will be the end of the world. And let me tell you something. You better make sure that Jesus is with you.
Amen.
You better make sure that Jesus is with you when you take your last breath. Oh, here you go. That's true. That's true. Precious Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the people of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our anchor. We thank you for Jesus Christ in the power of the written word. Father, we thank you for these folks, Father God, who going through. We all going through here at Christian Bible Baptist Church, Father God, but we know one thing for certain. You're in charge. This is your church. This is not Pastor Neil's church. This is not the deacon's church. This is not the choir's church. This is the Lord's church.
Yeah.
I didn't die for it. Nobody else did. You died for it. It's died for the church.
Yeah.
So we thank you. And we thank you for lending the building to us one more day.
Uh-huh.
And we can come in and open up the scriptures. Hopefully we've been empowered. Hopefully we know a little bit more about you than we did before we came in. Hopefully we know that we need you as our anchor. We need the Word of God to teach us and empower us. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Yes, Lord.
And Father God, you're so grateful. All you say is, all we have to do is ask, and you will give it to us. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Perilous times. Probably they got time to get out of church and probably hear some more.